Call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We're delighted to be in your homes or your automobiles, wherever you're downloading this information through satellite or computer. We welcome you aboard tonight to Shepherd's Call. We've got a great, very great, interesting message for you tonight, and we want you to stay tuned. Praise Yahweh. We're going to get into some interesting biblical discussions about how the snake got into the house of Israel. And we're going to talk extensively over the next few weeks about this very subject. This is a very lengthy discussion and a presentation that we have to give you, and it just systematically we'll try to walk you through the scriptures and show you how that the serpent seed got sowed in the house of Jacob Israel. Now, that may surprise some of you to hear that the bloodline of Jacob was, in fact, polluted with the bloodline of the snake, the serpent, that old serpent, the devil. And ladies and gentlemen, if you understand the genetic war that's raging across the earth tonight, you'll understand the wisdom of Satan as he tries to hide his genetics in the bloodline of Jacob. Of course, we know that Jacob was to be blessed above all of the people of the earth. Now, we're going to go to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we're going to start at the 5th verse. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now, we're going to start there and discuss this. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Before I get into the message tonight, let me up front give you my telephone number and our mailing address. And for that, we're going to bring Brother Eric on and let him give you this valuable information of how that you can contact us here at the Shepherd's Call. And if you are a first-time listener, we greet you in the magnanimous, magnificent, holy, wonderful, glorious, great name of Yahweh. It's a name above every name. It's a name that truly every knee shall bow to. You see, Lord, as it is written in your King James Bible, is really a deceptive term, meaning that there's many lords. So when we use the term Lord, we have to be more specific to identify the Creator than just Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says there's many lords and many gods. But the authorized King James Version decided to go with the title Lord. And by doing so, I believe they have corrupted the original text to the point that we have forgotten the name of Yahweh for Baal. Now, the tetragrammaton, that is Greek for four letters, and these four wonderful letters were inscribed in the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking about some of the original texts. Matter of fact, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they were dug up and discovered and looked into, the complete book of Isaiah was intact, and there was no word in the original text for Lord. Instead, they had the tetragrammaton in the text, which was YHVH. So, to be perfectly honest with you tonight, we will use Lord at times only for your thought process. Other times we will criticize that name simply because it's just a title. But if you're going to direct a name to the Heavenly Father, it should be His name as you present yourself before Him, as they did in Genesis 4:26. Men begin to call upon the name. Now, they didn't call Him Lord in those days. They didn't call Him Lord in the days of Isaiah. They called Him by His divine name. Now, the Jews have come along and taught us and give us this mentality that the name Yahweh is too holy to pronounce from the lips of man. But notice what it said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 26 and 27. You have caused my people to forget my name. So this is Jewish tradition, Talmud teaching, to conceal and hide the great name of Yahweh. This name should be known throughout the earth as Yahweh told his people that he had raised Pharaoh up for the very purpose of making his name known throughout the earth. Now, how can you call upon the name of Yahweh except you know it? And that's the $64 question here tonight. So, you see, the snake is very crafty. And let me tell you something. The Bible said he would deceive the very elect. So, stay tuned. This is a great ground truth. Where the rubber meets the road, we take no prisoners. We don't compromise with truth. We're not looking for a crowd. We're looking for the few. We're not looking for just the run of the mill. We're looking for good men and women that will hazard their life and be willing to take it, the whole armor upon themselves to withstand the wiles and the temptation of the devil. Many preachers, many teachers, ministers have sold out for filthy lucre just to ear tickle the crowd and get a following. Well, we're not in that category. We swim against the stream of Christianity, praise Yahweh, because most of it is apostate and has gone in the way of Balaam and will perish in the gainsaying of court. We believe that we are in a war tonight, and most of it genetic. We're going to continue on our series that we've done for the whole week on the Canaanite infestation, and tonight we will deal exclusively of how that Canaanite connection hooked into the genetic bloodline of Jacob. Now, here we are in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over the land, put thee, I pray, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now remember, Abraham gave everything he had, all of his inheritance, nothing excluded, went to Isaac. Now, we understand that by the word of Yahweh, that was a confirmation of the oath that he had swore. For in verse 6, and Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son here again, because Yahweh, Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed. Now, the promise was to Isaac the seed. Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife. In other words, this was divinely inspired. He could not possibly take a wife from the Canaanite. The angel of Yahweh would not permit it. Now, here today in the modern Judeo-Christian world, they see no enemy, hear no enemy, smell no enemy, and think no enemy. And therefore, the enemy has already got them. If you're aware of your enemy tonight, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll declare this tonight by the authority of Yahweh. We do have an enemy in the earth in flesh and blood, and they are the Canaanite seed, and we're going to deal with how they got into the house of Israel and became common kinfolk among Jacob Israel. Now, quickly, move to the 46th chapter of Genesis. Now, we're just going to hit the highlights. If you'd like to have this tape in its entirety, the VHS video, we have it where we do actual teaching in depth. I think we have about 4 to 6 hours teaching in this very subject. So this is very, very condensed tonight. So we will skim the surface of this message just especially for you. There's many things that we could bring. We'll not play the ace card here tonight, praise Yahweh. We'll let our enemy out there that listens and monitors our program, we'll save the ace card for them, praise Yahweh. Here we go now. Now, notice this, and Israel, that is Jacob, his name was changed to Israel after he got the covenant blessing. This is the offspring of Isaac. And remember now, Isaac had Jacob, and then Jacob bought the birthright. And the birthright was sold by Esau because he was the eldest son, and Jacob now was in possession because he was blessed by Isaac through the birthright possession. Praise Yahweh. Now, that's what we're going to talk about as we go in the next coming week, the birthright possession. You're going to be amazed. We're going to teach you and prove to you that our Messiah, Christ, was not a bloodline Jew. Now, that may surprise some of you. We're going to teach you as in the weeks to come, and we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that David was not a Jew. All these lying scribes and the pen of the lying scribes have caused these false prophets, these braying jackasses in the wind, praise Yahweh, they are braying out the message of Judeo-Christian mentality concepts. And yet when the voice of the Almighty Yahweh speaks through his prophet, then truth will come to bring the division. And ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry tonight that we have to plow the field before we can sow the seed. So here we go, praise Yahweh. And Israel took his journey with all that he had. And he came to Beersheba. And he offered sacrifices unto Elohim of his father Isaac. And Elohim spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, or Jacob was his true name, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am Elohim, the Elohim of thy father Isaac. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now, I'll tell you that the light's fixing to go into Egypt, and the only way that you can notice light is when you contrast it with darkness. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Oh, what a prophetic utterance that Joseph, now growing corn in Egypt for the salvation of Jacob Israel, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba. And the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, listen to me, very important, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. Now we're going to get into the genealogy downline of Jacob, and we're going to find out there are 66 souls that went down besides Jacob and his wife, praise Yahweh, which numbered 70 souls into the house of Israel, departing from Canaan and going down into the land of Egypt. They took their cattle and their goods that they had gotten in Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, that's his grandchildren, very important, his daughters, his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now, here is the mystery of Babylon. This is how the bloodline of the snake worked its way into the precious, pure bloodline that Yahweh commanded and Abraham observed, said, Do not, Isaac, take your wife. Do not let your children or your children's children mix with the Canaanite. And so then the oath of Abraham to the servant, he caused him to swear under his thigh. Notice what happens, though. Praise Yahweh. You see, folks, when we get cold and lukewarm and separated from the heat of the Holy Spirit, then we get trouble. And then we start in tradition. You see, Israel is a sympathetic, blood-blushing, conscious people. We have a heart. And that's our problem. We let our heart rule our head. You see, Satan has no heart. He only thinks with his intelligent mind as a snake would for survival. And this is how he bit himself into the bloodline of Jacob and got into the house of Israel to hide himself in the genetics. Now, let me show you the intense warfare that is beginning to come in. Here we're going down into the land of Egypt. We're going to take 66 souls with Jacob and his three wives, which makes 70. And we're going to look at the proposition here that he carried with him the snake-infested children of the Canaanite mix. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, The Bible is clear tonight that Jacob left Canaan with Canaanite blood descendants already mixed in his bloodline. Oh, this is the great era of time. Praise Yahweh. We'll see here how it transpires. These are the names, verse 8, of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. Now, we understand that Reuben was left out of the birthright privileges because he laid with his father's concubine. Now, for that reason, he was denied first son birthright privileges. And this is some of the mystery and the mystique of what we're teaching on here tonight. Oh, I would that I had a couple hours here, Rick, to really stretch out and let this horse of the Holy Spirit run down the narrow way of your minds tonight. Praise Yahweh, that you might really conceive the seed that I hope to sow into your mind. Now, the Bible said, my sheep will hear my voice. I know that I'll turn more off than I will on. But let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, the half hadn't been told. The mystery is now being manifest in the last days. And the Bible said, come out from among them. And here is the problem. Instead of coming out from among them, we welcomed them right into our bloodline. Now, we're going to move down to the 9th verse. And the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phalu, Hezron, and Carmel, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, and Jason, and Zohar, and Shaul, S-H-U-L. Write it down if you're keeping notes. Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Oh, my, my. The first two seeds voided through birthright privileges. Reuben, because he slept with the concubine of his father. And Simeon, because he had a Canaanite bloodline affection here. Praise Yahweh. And the sons of Levi. Now, remember, the sons of Levi were to have no inheritance, birthright privileges, in the house of Egypt or in the house of Jacob that was going to Egypt. And so then Levi is now excluded. The first three sons out of the lineage of Jacob excluded from the birthright simply because they were, for various reasons, two of them, here we'll find out, one of them laid with the concubine. One had a Canaanite wife. And, of course, we know that strictly against the laws of Yahweh. Is it still pertinent today to keep yourself pure? Of course it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you mix your bloodline with anything foreign or alien to the genetic bloodline of Jacob, you have caused havoc by committing fornication and sinning against your own body. Therefore, Yahweh must destroy your offspring. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious matter tonight. If you would understand the perils that lay in the way of your genetics, keep yourself unspotted from the world, the Bible said. And we're going to give you proof after proof, scripture after scripture, where that Satan tried to defeat the moral standard of Jacob Israel and mix his bloodline by enticing them with these beautiful, these seductive Canaanite women. Oh, yes, praise Yahweh. We have example after example that over the weeks to come we'll give you the examples. Now, remember the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merariah, Numbers 147 for text here, and the sons of Judah. Now, we're down to the fourth son. Very important. Mark this in your Bible. Verse 12. And the sons of Judah, Er, and Onan, and Shelah, and Phares, and Zarah. But Er and Onan died. Now, why'd they die? If you would look at the episode, we'll get in it just in a moment, of why they died, you will find it very, very interesting of why that they died. They didn't die a natural death. They were killed by Yahweh. Why? Because they were evil offspring from a Canaanite affection. That is the reason. And Onan died. And in the land of Canaan, and the sons of Phares were Harzon and Hemuel. Now, here we go now. The sons of Issachar. Now we're getting down to the concubine descendants. Praise Yahweh. And now for the next seed line as we go down. We're finding for one various reason or other, they are unqualified for birthright. Here is Judah, we find out that he had a Canaanite wife. For evidence, let's go back to the 30th chapter of the book of Genesis. Ladies and gentlemen, we're ground truthing it here tonight, and we know the truth will make us free. Praise Yahweh. Well, we're in a fast pace. You're riding a fast horse. We've got a lot to cover tonight, and I just hope that you can keep up with us. Here we go. Genesis 38, verse 1. And it came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And we'll be back right after the break. This is the Shepherd's Call. You're listening to The Truth Radio tonight. And we're on Truth tonight, worldwide, and we welcome you aboard. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on air. We are Ground Truth Zero tonight with a rubber meets the road. We take no prisoners in this ministry, praise Yahweh, because we don't have a stockade for you. We come to free you, not to put you in our little pen where you become tithers to our cause. We're only interested in sowing the seed and let others reap, praise Yahweh. And we know that we're hated for the great name of the King of all kings, Yahweh. And but these bastard seeds, you know, a bastard is someone that don't know who his father is and who cannot claim a bloodline descended through knowledge. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 34, it tells us that Esau took two Canaanite wives from the family of Elon the Hittite. Now, if Esau and the bloodline descendants of Esau were disqualified from the covenant principles of the oath of Yahweh, who said to keep clear of the Canaanite bloodline mixture infused into the house, we've already proven here that the fourth son out of the starting gate here, even before we get down to the land of Egypt, we already have grandchildren of Jacob that have Canaanite blood in their bloodline. Now, we're dealing now with the fourth son. His name is Judah, Yehuda in the Hebrew scriptures. Now, verse 6. Oh, let me give you verse 2. And Judah saw there, after he went down to this certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira, he saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her, and he went into her. Now, a very attractive woman, no doubt, caught his eye. And he goes in against the principles. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob knew the covenant principles. Isaac had taught him well. And so did Isaac. Abraham had taught him well. You see, now we have diluted the truth to where in that day the Bible says they will call good evil and evil good. Now it's Judeo-Christian thinking, politically correct, to include all bloodlines of the earth as acceptable unto Yahweh. That is a lie of the serpent. It is not so. Yahweh has been the author of more killing upon the earth than any henchman that ever walked in shoe leather. Why? Because of disobedience and because of they that break his vows and his covenants. We'll see it as we go along here. Notice this, verse 3. She conceived. He laid with her and had relations. He laid with a Canaanite. She conceived and bare a son and called his name Aaron. Now remember, in 46 Genesis, verse 12, we get the bloodline descendant of Jacob, Judah. And she conceived again and bare a son and called his name Onan. Remember now that the Bible said that they died. Now we're going to find out why. And yet she conceived again and bare a son and called his name Shelah. This is the third son. Now this very obscure third son is not mentioned anywhere in any ministry that we know of outside of identity teaching. Praise Yahweh. So you see, we dare to go where others fear to tread. We're not preaching for a crowd. If we was, we could change our message, and we could have us a big following as these preachers have gathered them a comfort zone of filthy lucre around them to support them in a ministry. You see, it pays off. But Eric, as you well know, we're poor, but we're proud, and we are Israelites that will teach the truth and bring the light. Praise Yahweh. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh slew him. Oh, my. You mean Yahweh killed that little bastard? Yes, he killed this bastard seed. And Judah said unto Onan, now you go in unto your brother's wife. See, it was a tradition found in truth that they had to, the next in line, the next eldest son had to bring seed by the wife that had no seed. You marry her, and you raise up seed to your brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. You reckon that there was a problem here of covenant? And it came to pass that when he went into his brother's wife, that he spilled it upon the ground. We're talking about his seed, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased Yahweh. Therefore, he slew him also. And then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brother did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. She returned to her own father's house. Now, we know from the book of Jasher that Tamar was an Israelite. She was a pure woman that had gotten mixed up in the Canaanite bloodline. Yahweh slew this. And now notice that it takes 7 years for a woman to cleanse her womb after her womb is tainted with any kind of foreign blood, according to the laws of Yahweh. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timothy, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, still hanging with a Canaanite. My, my, my. Let me tell you something. If you lay down with the dogs, as the old saying goes, you'll get up with the fleas. Judah laid down with a Canaanite and got up with a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, this problem is now infested into the house of Israel. And we know that as we go into the New Testament, where our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, encountered these bloodline descendants of Abraham, true, but a mixture of the Canaanite blood. That's why Christ said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to him in the 8th chapter of John, you are of your father, the devil. Notice what they said. We not be born to fornication. The word fornication enters in, and look it up, ladies and gentlemen. It is mixing with a strange race. We'll prove that in a moment. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth to Timothy to share his sheep. Now, she put on the widow's garment and went up and tricked, if you will, Jacob to lay with her, and she was impregnated now with Judah, Jacob's son Judah. Now, we have Judah here, a pure bloodline Israelite, a male, laying with now a pure bloodline Israelite, a female, and now they're fixing to have Phares and Zara, who are now fixing to write the inherited bloodline of Judah into the privileged covenants of the house of Israel. This is the only thing, ladies and gentlemen, that saved the seed of Judah. Praise Yahweh. Now, but the problem is, we now have a mixed congregation. Praise Yahweh. Now, quickly, going back over to Genesis 46. Now, notice this. And the sons of Leah, which she bare to Jacob and Padan-Aram and his daughter Dinah, all the souls and of his sons and daughters were 33. Now we go on down to the sons of Benjamin, verse 21, which were mentioned here in the book of Jasher, chapter 53, verse 18. And then the sons of Rachel, which were born unto Jacob, all the souls were 14. Now, when you total it up, verse 26, and all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's wives, all the souls were 66. And Shelah, that had Shelah, he was one of the bloodlines that went down into the land of Egypt with Jacob and the procession. And verse 28, And all the souls, verse 27, all the souls were 70, meaning 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Now, here we got the scene set. Jacob going down with his bloodline descendants, and also with the Canaanite blood of two sons. These sons were Shelah, and the other son that was from the Canaanite mixture of Simeon, Shua, as they have descendant sons that were in the count that went down into the land of Egypt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have this that displeased Yahweh, and it displeased him greatly. Therefore, now we're given that Jacob's sons are now to be given the birthright. We're going quickly now. We're not going to deal in here very quick or too much, but we're going to give you the highlight here as we go into the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, we're going to deal especially with the 10th verse. Remember that Joseph had the birthright. Now, how do we know that? We go now over to 1 Chronicles. I ask you, if you will, to go over to 1 Chronicles, and we're going over to the book of Chronicles, and we're going to deal with the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, when you get in this genealogy debate, this endless line of genealogy. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had access to the scrolls or the holy text. They began to doctor the text. We'll prove it in time to come where they doctored the text. We have evidence that they have doctored the text to present to you this lie of the serpent that the Jews are God's chosen people. This is a lie. Yahweh's chosen people are not the Canaanite Jews, ladies and gentlemen, that are mixed with the seed of Judah. For Judah, verse 2, prevailed above his brethren. Now, what does that mean, prevail? That means that Judah sort of was the bully of the family. Notice he had to get rid of Joseph before he became able to prevail over the brethren. Quickly now back to Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter, now this is Judah. He's given the prophetic utterance unto Judah here in verses 8, 9, and 10, and verse 11, 12. And then we're going to read verse 10 in particular. The scepter. Now, remember the scepter and the birthright are to be synonymous or go together. In this case, it was split because of the exile of Joseph from the camp. Remember, Judah, Jacob, thought that he was dead. Now, how do we know that? Because we read in the Bible that these brethren begin to plot the scene here where that they were going to rid themselves of Joseph. Now, why would they do that? Praise Yahweh. Because he was the birthright inheritor, and therefore they said, let us get rid of the inheritor, and somebody can take his place. Well, guess who was up to take his place? The prevailer, Judah. He was strong. The book of Jasher says that he could break a stone by just squatting down on a stone and bend it in the back of his legs, that he could crush a stone with a sure weight, and he whipped 70 Egyptians by himself that came to arrest him, according to the book of Jasher. Here we are in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. Folks, this is Ground Truth Zero. You won't hear it anywhere else. You're hearing it tonight probably for the first time. Why? Because we dare to go where other ministers fear to go. Why? Because we're not interested in your filthy lucre. If you'd like to support this truth, then we know that if you're real and you're a sheep, you will. You'll hear the word of Yahweh, and if you're not, you're going to hate us for the name, and that's what we're here for. We didn't come to bring peace. We brought the sword into the house, and we are going to use it. Woe unto the shepherds that fail to bring blood. We want to bleed your heart real good of all of the deceit and corruption and fill it with the truth of Yahweh. You shall know the truth. The truth won't set you free, ladies and gentlemen. The truth will make you free. If I take a tiger and out of his natural habitat and put him in a cage 20 by 20 and set him free in the cage, he only thinks he's free. He's free for 20 feet each way. But if I make him free, he goes back to the jungle in his natural habitat and he's made free. That's the difference. See, set free and made free. Verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren that had plotted to get rid of Joseph, the birthright son, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Very ingenious here, huh? Come, listen to what he said. This is the inherent nature of some of the bloodline descendants of Judah who call themselves Jews. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Does that sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Let's sell him. Praise Yahweh. Now, here we go. We're going back to Genesis 49, and we're going to read verse 10. Notice the terminology here very closely as we read in the Bible. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Until. The key is here. Until. The scepter will not depart until Shiloh, meaning in reality the Messiah. Strong's number 7886, the place where Yahweh first established the temple covenant, unto Shiloh, that's where this the Messiah would come from, in the territory of Ephraim. We'll prove it in days to come. You see, our Messiah was an Ephraimite. He was from the bloodline, birthright, chosen ones had to be in line for the lineage to receive the birthright. Now, the scepter must also depart because that's all power, and this represents, the scepter represents the power. The birthright is the authority to rule, praise Yahweh, and the inheritance at the death of the testator, praise Yahweh. It will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. My question to you tonight is very evident. If it was Judah's to keep, why would it depart from Judah when the Messiah came? These things are very, very important. Now, quickly, as we go over to John, we prophesied over here several times in this scripture and related to it. Now, let us go to the 8th chapter and begin to read in the 8th chapter of some of the problems that our Messiah, Shiloh, encountered when he came. Notice now, as we begin to read, starting at verse 19. Then said they unto him, these are the Pharisees, where is thy father? And the Messiah said, you neither know me nor my father. If you had have known me, you should have known my father also. And these words spake the Messiah in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Verse 21. Then said the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, Jesus here in the King James, said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a seed upon the earth that will not inherit into the kingdom. They cannot inherit. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he said, where I go, you cannot come? Verse 24, I'm on a fast track here tonight. I'm not going to have time, folks. I'm just breaking the bread of initiation here tonight. I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, let's go over to verse 32. I quoted this scripture here in a minute. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall not set you free. It shall make you free. You see, bailbox mentality, Judeo-Christian, modern theology, sets you free. Yahweh's truth makes you free. There is a difference. Praise Yahweh. Verse 33, then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Remember, they are Abraham's seed. I showed you in the 46th chapter of Genesis how that these sons of descendant of Jacob married into the Canaanite bloodline, and that they went down and accompanied those of the seed of Jacob into the land of Egypt. So therefore, we've had the Canaanite Jews, the seed, this evil seed among us ever since Egypt. Praise Yahweh. So, you see, they go back a long way. Now, notice this now. We're over on the 43rd verse quickly. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who murdered in the beginning? The offspring of Satan, Cain, the Canaanites, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up and get the revelation of truth. And the Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you one more scripture. I'm running out of time here to deal with this. This is just too much. We'll have to continue it Monday night on the Shepherd's Call here on Truth Radio. We're quickly going over to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to the 37th verse to prove to you that a Mongol race came out with the children of Israel when they were delivered 430 years later. Praise Yahweh. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks, herds, and cattle. Now, the word mixed is Strong's number 6154, which means Erib, which means mongrel race. That is 6154. Look it up for yourself. So then, Egypt, the Israel came out of Egypt, and so did a mongrel race. That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. So this mongrel race has been among us from the word go. Folks, this is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Folks, if you'd like to get in touch with me, call me after the show. Tell me that you heard the pastor's call. That is area code 423-626-2172. Until we see you Monday night, good night, in the great magnanimous name of Yahweh. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Standard Time on this great station. Praise Yahweh.